how perfect it is to have snow today. We know that we need more before the end of winter. We have heard of that critical moisture level in the ground is low. Today, this is also for us a spiritual image of how our souls may turn from scarlet red because of our sin to white snow through repentance. We don't even have to imagine how white that is. We just have to look on our way out to our cars after Mass, so that'll be a good reminder. The saints talk about sin in many different ways and using many different images, and so does sacred scripture. Contemporary culture has none of that. There is no talk of sin. There is condemnation, lots of it to go around. And there is being offended. Everyone has a right to be offended today, but no sin. It's not surprising, and yet I still find myself asking over and over again, why not? What is it that leads us away from even recognizing that there is such a thing? I ask this because I know that everyone wants to be happy. This is natural as being human, and even the spiritual masters tell us so. And if happiness is good, which St. Thomas Aquinas affirms, for example, then seeking happiness is also good. But we are crippled in this desire because we do not understand and do not know that happiness is as close to us as the mercy and forgiveness that God offers us every day and even at every moment. But without the knowledge of our sinfulness, even the little sins, we are not receptive to these graces. Without this knowledge, there is only a kind of fake happiness, which is no happiness at all. That's why we see so much around us that is not of that kind of happiness, not that kind of joy. There is a great sense of despair around us. What we are left with, what we see everywhere around us, is only the satisfaction of condemning others and of being offended by others. In Isaiah's time, God warns the people of Israel that their sins are like those of Sodom and Gomorrah. You can't get a stronger image than that. I don't know how close we are to Sodom and Gomorrah today, but it is scary to think of. Yet, God offers a list of what to do. Make yourselves clean. Remove your evil behavior. Learn to do good. So we should notice, probably from this particular part of this passage, that these are all actions. It's not passive. Getting rid of evil is not a passive thing. We have to remove it. We have to act. So it has to be forcefully combated, not passively ignored. What's the other thing? Well, learn to do good. The children in school, I noticed, know that they are supposed to be kind. They use that word a lot. But it takes a lifetime of practice to be happy in doing good. And so there's this constant learning process that needs to go beyond just simply this vague idea of being kind that the children have. I affirm them in this, but I try to challenge them, even the little ones, to be active and aggressive in figuring out how they should be kind. Seek justice, Isaiah says. God says through Isaiah, seek it. We have to look for it. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead the orphan. Plead for the widow. And what is the attached promise for all of these things? Though your sins are like scarlet, bright red, they shall be white as snow. Scarlet and crimson are red, the color of our sins, and also the color of blood. Not an accident, is it? In saying this, Isaiah prophesied without knowing just how true would it be that it is through the blood of Jesus Christ that we would find the fullness of the washing away of sin. The psalm today, worth a lot of reflection, be worth reflecting on entirely. It captures the heart of what Jesus will say later on. What right have you to recite my statutes, the psalmist says, for you hate discipline. Those who bring thanksgiving as their sacrifice, they're the ones who honor me. To those I will show the salvation of God. And then this great line, you thought that I was one just like yourself. But now I rebuke you and lay the charges before you. So there's probably the heart of the problem right there, eh? That we think we are, as a culture, we are God. We make ourselves God. So that's the heart of the problem. We are always tending to make ourselves the standard and demanding that God be like us. and kind of go along with how we see things. It's as if we said, let us, paraphrasing God or contradicting God at creation, let us make God in our image and according to our likeness. So that's the culture that we live within, isn't it? What God wants for his people, though, is to live more like the image and likeness with which he has already made us. In the gospel, Jesus, the source of light and life, explains further the repentance that leads to true happiness. First, don't be like those who preach, but they don't practice. The religious leaders had the authority of Moses. They sat on his chair, his kathedra, the Greek term for that. So that's why the cathedral is the seat of the authority of the bishop, who is the authority of Christ in our diocese. With the power of all of the prophets of old combined, Jesus denounces the Pharisees for their hypocrisy. They teach the law, but they don't help people carry the burden of the law. And so Jesus tells the people to do what they say, but not be like them. They are guilty of making religious leadership more of a show than an act of service. Jesus tells them to be doers of the word. So again, that action, that to do good, it has to be an action. And so he exhorts us as well to bear witness to our Christian life through our example. And this is something we may not realize, that by our baptism, we now share in the authority that the Pharisees had. So his challenge to them is the same to all of us. The Lenten journey calls for all of us to bring harmony between what we believe and what we say and what we do. We know this, don't we? And every day is a new opportunity to turn to God in humility. Modern society weakens our knowledge of the transcendent God and the awareness of our sins, endangering us to remain scarlet in that sin. Without our God at the center of our Lenten journey, we would be quickly overwhelmed with the weight of our sin and of the judgment for it. So let us today commit ourselves to not hating God's discipline. Let God be God, and let his people, washed in the blood of his Savior, be ours as well. We need God every second and every step of the way. Let our prayer, fasting, and almsgiving be a following of Jesus, our rabbi, our teacher. Let us cry out to him again and again and again. Let us save him from our sin and from our broken human nature. I'm not saying anything that we don't always know, that we don't always hear every day during Lent, but it's always good to kind of keep ourselves focused on that path. Jesus will condemn us for any hypocrisy that's in our hearts. I know I feel it in myself, if I'm honest, just as he did theirs. Jesus is our judge, but he is also the Father's justice and mercy made visible. He is always ready to receive our repentant hearts and provide the mercy that God alone can give us and make us white as snow.